Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 355, Follow the Word. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, January 28th, 2024 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Praise the Lord. Yes, it's okay to have fun, to laugh, to show God's joy in us in church. It's good. Praise God. Before I jump into the message today, I just want to give a thank you to everyone who has been praying or helping collect signatures for our future governor, the state of Indiana, Jamie Rettenauer. We have turned in, the team has turned in the signatures, and in District 3, we are complete. We're checked off. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. So thank you so much for helping and praying and being a part of that. If you signed back there, thank you for your signature. It counts. It means something. And, you know, this godly woman who has a call on her life is on her way to be in the state house. So praise God for that. We have, so 675 valid signatures were from Allen County alone. That's awesome. That's awesome. And total in District 3, which includes other counties, more than 800. So valid signatures. So thank you so much for being a part of that. Jackie is here with us today. Welcome, Jackie. So glad you're here. And she is part of the team. How would you say? Representative. They call her a gatherer, right? Here in this region for Jamie's team. So praise the Lord. God is doing good things, and he has good plans. Indiana goodness is part of the slogan, if you will, for our state, for Jamie. Praise the Lord. Continue to pray. They are still closing up some of the other districts that were a little bit more challenging to get signatures. So please pray. They were out all weekend, and Marion County and District 1 and District 9, I believe, still need prayers. So we just want to see God send his miraculous help and assistance so that that part of the wall, she talks about building the wall of Nehemiah, that part of the wall can be finished. Praise God, and they can move on to other things. All right. Praise the Lord. We're going to jump right in today. We're going to talk about the Word of God. I don't know if there's a more fun, awesome topic than, well, there are. All things about Jesus are good, right? The blood of Jesus is good. We could name, you know, his holiness, his righteousness. But I just love the Word of God. And I think, yeah, the Lord's been taking me on this sort of renewal in seeing the value, the treasure that the Word of God is. And I think that was one of my, if I could share a testimony with you of my fasting time, it was just like a new revelation and appreciation for the Word of God and what a treasure it is and how powerful it is to our lives. So it is exactly that, what God gives us, a powerful tool in our hands. Are we using this powerful tool to all of its potential? Probably not. And there's always going to be room to come up higher, right? In getting this into our hearts, into our minds, right? We got to get our mind renewed with the Word of God. And I was inspired by a message where this minister was talking about a Bible revival. I love that. He said, you know, it's time for us as the Christian church to have a Bible revival. And that's what I pray today as, you know, we share the Word and we dig into it, that the Holy Spirit just kind of, maybe in a loving way, kind of just goes like that. Can people at home still see me if I go off like this? Well, I'll just do it to myself. I won't smack Pastor Karen. That's not nice. Holy Spirit said, just do it to yourself. You know, now I forgot what I was going to do. You know, a Bible revival. Yeah, I know. So the Holy Spirit, when I'm, you know, up here ministering the word, that he just goes, yeah, like hits you with this, with understanding how much we need this, what a powerful tool it is in our hands. And there's so much more that we can give ourselves to it, to the word of God. Praise the Lord. You know, let's be real. Let's be honest, right? That sometimes, maybe a lot of times, we miss it as believers. And we do a lot of this, a lot of flappy flappy, a lot of talk about how great we are and how we're so holy and, you know, how we're, you know, just we think of ourselves really highly sometimes, and we tell other people, even maybe not truths of what we're doing or not doing with this, to sound spiritual. And we need to have some repentance. I'll just say that. I was doing some repenting when I was on getting the value of this, because it's like, wow, there's been times where I've missed it. And, you know, just talk too much about what I do instead of just doing it, right? Instead of living out the word. That's where it's at, for us to live out the word. Talk or don't talk. I mean, we got to preach, right? I'm not saying don't preach, but don't boast about what you're going to do. Just do it. Live the word, right? Watch me. I'm going to, and then you don't do anything. You know, a spirit of coward comes on you, and you know, wow, I'm meddling today. This is going to be feisty. Okay, are you guys ready? I'm feisty because because that's what he's doing in me. So I'm just sharing it. Buckle up. Praise God. All right. So there's a scripture that I'm sure maybe you've heard it. It's in Hebrews 4. Let's look at it. It's talking about the word of God. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. It tells us some things about the word of God here, of how, I'll just read it and then we'll dig into it. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Wow. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Wow, there's some stuff in here. There is some stuff to bring us some help. The word of God is bringing us some help today. First off, it says the word of God is alive. Let's talk about alive. That means there's life in it. That means it's not just a dead, dusty historical book. There is life in the word and power. That's the next part. There is life in here because it comes from the spirit of the living God, right? He lived and breathed this and inspired men to write this. It all comes from him. It comes from his heart. And, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about the word made flesh. Who's that? The word made flesh. Jesus, right? He is the word. He's the word made flesh. So it's alive because Jesus is still alive. If you are a born again believer, he is alive in your heart. So therefore his word, that's him, the word made flesh. This is alive. Wah, it's electric, right? It's alive. And that means it is also powerful because the life of Jesus is powerful. Power, that word, it translates to the word that we use for energy. His word has energy in it, life, power. How powerful it is? How powerful is it, Pastor Sarah? Well, I'll tell you. First Peter, we're going to take a little detour, little field trip to 1 Peter 1, and then we'll go back to Hebrews 4. 1 Peter 1, verse 23, it says, "For through the eternal," that means lasts forever, "eternal and living word of God," there it is, living again, "you have been born again. And this seed," it calls the word of God a seed, "that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but will live and grow inside of you forever." So if you've been born again, the seed of the word, imagine a little seed that, you know, you go out to plant a plant. You have planted that seed of God, his salvation, in your heart. And it says it can never be destroyed. It will live and grow inside of you forever. So that seed becomes, imagine like a tree inside of you. It's the tree of life, right? It's him. "For human beings are frail and temporary." This is 1 Peter 1. We're in 24 now. "Human beings are frail and temporary, like grass, and the glory of man fleeting." That means it changes quickly. It goes away quickly. "Like blossoms of the field. The grass dries and withers, and the flowers fall off. But the word of the Lord endures forever." The word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was announced to you. Now, that's some power, right? That's powerful. This lasts forever. It's not going to go away. And guess what? If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is what this is telling us. That seed, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that can never fail, it can never perish, it's been planted inside of you. And as you live and grow and walk with God and tend to that seed, tend to the garden, it's going to grow. It's going to create life inside of you. It's going to turn into power. It's a power source inside of you. That's interesting. So if your relationship with Jesus feels dead, dull, or boring, I got a suggestion for you. I got a recipe for you. I got a prescription for you. This. Get this. Get it. And get eat on it, like we talked about last weekend when we were doing the communion. Feast on the Word of God. You know, now that we're done with our fasting time, you probably eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Maybe some people skip breakfast. How many of our meals a day? We need to feast on this several times a day. We need to nourish our spirits with this, because it's the incorruptible seed of the word. It's not going to fail. It's not going to wither. It's not going to go away like the grasses and the blossoms of the field, right? So we can experience a Bible revival. We can spice up, if you will, our life with God by getting in here. You know, I don't want to be like the Spice Girls, but spice up your life, every boy and every girl. That was a song from, I'm dating myself, right? I mean, if you need to spice up your walk with Jesus, okay, come back. Sorry, come back. I lost some people, the Spice Girls. It's just, you know, get excited. I'm trying to get you to get excited about the Word of God. Oh, I lost them. They're just gone. I lost me at Spice Girls. Sorry. Okay. Praise God. Let's come back. So, praise God. The Holy Spirit, he's the Spirit of truth, right? He's our teacher. He's our rabbi. And he wants to teach us the Word of God. But he can't teach you if you never open it, if you never get in it, if you never look at it, right? That's through the word is one of the main ways that you can hear his voice. People are like, I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear God's voice. Well, get in his word. This is his personal love letter to you. And it's alive and it's powerful. It's how you connect with him. It's how you build relationship. And it because it's alive, it'll come really alive to you and it really gets exciting. So let's go back to Hebrews 4. We talked about it's alive and powerful. Then it says, this is verse 12, Hebrews 4, verse 12. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. That's sharp. I cut my finger on a knife a few weeks ago, and it was sharp, and it bled, and it was not nice. Sharp. This is sharp. It's going to sharpen us. And then it says, it cuts between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. I think for a long time I didn't really understand what that was talking about. This means the word of God is going to, it might hurt a little bit sometimes. It's like God's discipline. But it's cutting away what is soul, that's me, my flesh, my thoughts, my ideas, and what is really from God, what is spirit. It's going to divide. It's sharp, and it's going to divide. And that might bring conviction to us. It might bring correction. But hey, we need that, right? And ultimately, if we're interested in looking more like Jesus, then we need some correction in our lives, right? And if we can't take correction from here, from the Holy Spirit through his word, then we won't be able to take it from anyone. You know, we need to allow him, the sword of the Spirit, to divide and cut away those, what's my own flesh, what's my thinking. Well, I just don't want to do that. Well, God's going to slice it down and separate. Right? He exposes some stuff, some darkness in our hearts. Sometimes I see people nodding. He wants to cut away the filth. Our heart is deceptive above all else, it says somewhere in the Bible, somewhere in Proverbs, I believe. He wants with the sword to cut away that filth, the dark part, to bring us transformation. It's like this. Okay, I'm going to do a little scenario here, okay? I am Sister Susie Q. Well, I just can't believe this. Sister Know-It-All at church took my seat again, and then she didn't even say hi to me. And then she did this and that and spread rumors about me, and it was not nice. And this Sister Know-It-All, I just can't even see her. I don't think I can ever forgive her. And this is just terrible, terrible. She just repulses me. Sister Know-It-All. An hour later, oh God, it's time for my prayer time. It's time for my devotional. Oh God, speak to me. Give me a word. Give me a word, God. Give me a word. First John 4:20. Oh, if someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, oh dear, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God who we cannot? Oh no, 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 not that one, God. Give me another word. God, I need a word. Bless me today, God. Just bless me today. Let's try that again. Maybe this one will be a little more uplifting. Let's see. Oh, okay. This ought to be good. Matthew's a good positive book, right? Matthew 6. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Oh, I don't really like that. Okay, well, I guess my prayer time's over because I didn't like that at all, either one of those words. So I need to get like a Bible plan that's a little nicer or something. Okay, scenario done. Wow, we can be like that. Can't we be like that? Guess what? The sword is doing its thing, right? And we are closing ourselves off to it. We're saying, nope, not that one. Let me just go down and find another one, God. We do that. We laugh. I made it funny, but are we open? If we really say that we're following God, following Jesus, that means I want to be like him. That means I'm willing to be transformed by him. That's the principal way that it's going to come, through the word, right? And being on mission with him. How am I going to be on mission with him and get lost people saved if I haven't forgiven Sister Know-It-All for stealing my seat at church? And I can't get over that. Somebody else, Sister Krista, said, get over yourself. That's what this is about. Get over yourself and let the word of God do its thing. Let it cut away what's of the spirit and what's, well, not cut away that part. Cut away of the spirit what is of your soul, what is of yourself, and allow yourself to be transformed. Sister Susie Q needs to forgive Sister Know-It-All and move on, right? And so get some humility and repent for her part in things too, right? Amen. All right, let's not be like Sister Know-It-All and Sister Susie Q. Praise the Lord. All right, where are we? Let's be accountable to the Lord through the word of God, because he wants to help us. He's getting correction or sometimes rebuke to us, but it's because he loves us. And he knows that if we're in that situation, like harboring a lack of, harboring resentment, bitterness, it's going to hurt us. It's going to harm us. And it's going to hinder our walk with him. It's going to hinder our being on mission with him. And so we must listen to what the word of God is saying to us and allow ourselves to be changed and transformed and corrected by it. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, God knows my heart. Like, I should have worked that into the scenario. Sister Susie Q saying, well, God knows my heart. And, you know, Sister Know-It-All really was not nice and, you know, sinned against me and yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know what? It says in the Bible that God knows us. The word says that he knows us by our works, and that we will be judged by our works. Now, we know that works don't determine our salvation. We don't work to get into heaven. We don't work for that, right? When we receive Jesus as Lord, that's a free gift. Yes, it's a free gift. But it does say, Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. And that all has to do with, I was doing a little study, a little research on the judgment seat of Christ, the two different kinds of judgment. One is for believers, one is for unbelievers. Believers, that's us, will face the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be judged for what we do and what we don't do. So let's just forgive Sister Know-It-All, okay? And move on, right? There's another Psalm 33:13-15. It says, the Lord looks over us from where he rules in heaven, gazing into every heart from his lofty dwelling place. He observes all the people of the earth. The creator of our hearts considers and examines everything we do. Wow. I mean, he's not waiting to strike us down. But when we get to that judgment seat of Christ, when we are judged, he wants to give us crowns. It says we're going to be given crowns for the good works that we do, so that then we can go and put them at, give them to Jesus. We're going to crown Jesus in heaven, right? That's awesome. I want to get all the crowns to give them to Jesus, my King, in eternity. Praise the Lord. So it makes us think about what we really are doing. And this is going to help us, you know, this is going to keep us in line. If we follow this to the letter, we're going to get all the crowns, right? Praise God, we'll have a reward in heaven. And like I said, we're not saved through works. This was a quote from this minister of this message, Ben Fitzgerald, that I listened to. He said, we're not saved through works, but we manifest our saved lives through works. That means we don't earn our way to heaven by what we do. But when we understand the goodness and the mercy of God, like we sang about today, and what that Jesus has redeemed us and forgiven us, that we're so overcome with that, that in our life turns into, I want to do good things for him. I want to bless Jesus. I want to serve him. Right? You see the difference? All right. It's about getting the word so deep in us that we live it out, that we walk it out because we love him and we want to look like him and we want to serve him, Jesus. So this is how we do it. We're going to unpack some scripture in Proverbs 4. This is how you do it. This is how we really get close to the word. Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. We're going to take this apart a little bit. So I'll read those first verses and then we'll unpack it. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. I'm reading King James Version because this is how I studied it, and it's just in my heart this way, so I'm reading it that way. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All right, let's start the first phrase. Verse 20, it says, my son, that could be my daughter, attend to my words. What are you giving your attention to? What are you attending to with your time and your attention? For me, this is a problem sometimes, a lot of times. I need to like hide it so that I can get into this. And silence it or put it away or whatever, because I want this to notify me of what's going on, not, oh, look, somebody, you know, notification of what somebody said on Facebook or social media or any of that. What are we giving our attention to? We've got to let go of other things that suck and steal our time and our attention, and we've got to put it back into the Word of God. Because that's how we're starting this whole section. It says, attend, my son, attend to my words. Are you really attending to his words? What he's saying to you, what he's trying to say to you. Attend means to take care of, to serve. If you're attending to somebody, you're serving that, you're paying attention to them, right? In order to give heed to it, to let it do something for you, you know, to let the word in this case get into your heart. We need fresh manna every day. He gives it to us. He offers to give that to us every day and multiple times a day. All the time, everywhere, right? Continuously, we need to continuously feed ourselves from it. But if our attention is somewhere else, dinging with our notifications, then we're going to have a hard time giving our attention to this. So then the next part says, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Incline your ear. That means turn your ear to it. What are you listening to? You listening to, there's lots of voices, lots of noise in the world. Am I right? Do you agree? What are you inclining your ear to? Like tuning in your ear to really hear. We want to get the word, the truth coming from the Spirit of truth into us. So that means if I'm inclining my ear to the word, that means I'm going to go where this is being preached. Where the word is being preached, where I can hear it. Okay, maybe I can use my phone to hear the word of God, right? Get it into your ears, get it into your heart. We know the verse that says, for faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We've got to hear it. We've got to incline our ear to it in order, we've got to hear it first in order for it to get to my heart. Probably you got to hear it a lot of times. sometimes it's over and over and over. And I read a verse one day that I've read many times, and it's like I just see it in a different way. And the Holy Spirit makes it come alive to me in a different way. But if I never hear it, I'm probably never going to get revelation of it. We spend time on what is valuable to us. So let's match up what we say, our words, with the actions of really inclining our ear, paying attention, attending to it, and inclining our ear to what the word, what God wants to say to us through his word. The next section, verse 21, Proverbs 4, it says, "Let them not depart from your eyes." Put the word before you always. Let it not depart from our eyes. Let it be right here, right? And we have so much at our fingertips. We can make pictures. We can, you know, stick notes. You are loved, fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, put it on your mirror. Put words, scripture specifically to fight against things that you're dealing with. If you're struggling with fear and anxiety, find some word. Ask the Holy Spirit and do a search and get some word that fights, that tells you his truth that goes against what you're struggling with. And put, why not? You could put stick notes all over your mirror, all over your house, in your car, where you're going to see it. Let it not depart from your eyes. Put it in front of you. So you're hearing it. You're also putting it in front of you. You're reading it. You're not letting it go. You want to see it again and again. You've got to train yourself on the Word of God to see that as your reality and the truth more than what the circumstances tell you. Because with your senses, your five senses, you can feel, see, hear lots of other things that aren't the truth of really what God says. We want to be like Abraham. You know, Abraham, the old guy? He and Sarah, they had a baby, even though his body was good as dead. It says, well, that's what the word says. You're laughing. Have you read that? It says, even though his body was not as good as dead, it says he considered not. Again, in that, for that section, I just love reading it in King James. I don't know why, but I just do. He considered not what his body, that his body was good as dead, it says. But he considered the word of God as his reality. And then guess what? That came into being. That was God's dream. But if he didn't put that, it doesn't say that he had to get it into his eyes and his ears, but I'm sure he did that. For it to be that strong that he was fully persuaded, in another place it says, I think it's Hebrews 4, Romans 4, you know, he was fully persuaded that God would do what he told him he would do. He had to get faith. How did he build faith? Probably by hearing the word of God and putting it. Do you think Abraham had post-it notes? You know, seeing it, keeping it in front of him, that was greater than what he saw, that Sarah was, you know, 90 and past childbearing age, and what he felt in his physical body. I'm an old man, but he saw the greater, he saw beyond what the physical eyes saw. We could learn something from Father Abraham. Lots of things. Let's be like him. Okay, then next it says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Wow, there can be so much in our heart, floating around in our hearts. The place that is more deceptive, the word says, the Bible calls our heart the most deceptive, right? That's where he wants the word to be, in the middle of our heart. He's trying to help this grave of a place where lots of death could happen if that's the most deceptive place, right? And he's saying, right there, that's where I want to plant the word. Right there in the middle of that deceptive, ugly, dark place, that's where he's going to drop his truth. And that's where we need to keep. Keep is our part. We got the incorruptible seed of the word when we were born again. But this says, keep them. That's a command. That's something, action for us to do. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Who's them? The word. So we've got to get the word of God not only alive in our hearts, we've got to keep it, maintain it. We've got to contend for that word, his truth, to be and stay in our hearts alive. Because, you know, like the Pharisees had a lot of scripture. They knew a lot of scripture, but their hearts were far from God, weren't they? We don't want to be like the Pharisees. Oh, yeah, I know that. Oh, yeah, I know that. But we're not living it, and our hearts are so far from him. So, because so many things are vying for, fighting for, to be the center of our heart. There's so many things that we could feed on to feel better about ourselves, but it's going to be fleeting. It's going to come and go. And so if we put his word there in the midst of our heart, his truth, and we keep it there and we maintain it like a garden, then it's going to blossom into the tree of life, right? So my question today for you is, what has your affection? What has your affection? Are you able to keep these words in the midst of your heart because he wants his word to be where your affection lies? Like Sister Leah talked about the treasure, we store up treasure in heaven. His word needs to be our treasure, and that needs to be what we're excited about in our hearts. Then it goes on to say, well, let's, before I go to the next one, John 15:7, it has to do with this, what we're talking about the word. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you. This is talking about, I am the vine, you are the branches. Stay with God, you know, abide in God. But then he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Okay, so it's one thing to remain in him, abide in him, be with him. But then having God's words remain in me and they remain in my heart, in the center of that place that's being transformed from a deceptive place to the host place of God's truth and his word. It's got to remain there. We've got to keep it alive, just like you'd keep alive a plant or a garden, right? And then it says, if you do those two things, remain in him and having his words remain in you, then you can ask for anything you want. Ask him in prayer and it will be granted. That's powerful. Keep it alive in our hearts, though. That's the key. So then moving on, verse 22, it says, this is referring to the word. They are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. We go back to the word is alive. It's life. This word is life to us. It's medicine. It's life and healing to all our flesh. This is his prescription for every area of your life, but definitely also, I mean, here it's really the words that it's using. It's healing. This is your healing. Who's believing for a healing? Okay, let's get in this. Get in this and get it in your heart that we actually are already healed. Jesus did it, right? We just need to get that alive and maintain that alive in our hearts. And when anything tries to come and tell us otherwise, oh no, oh no, I'm like Abraham. I'm not seeing, I'm not judging on how I see or feel. My truth is this. He says, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. And that life to you, or that word to you, is life. And it's healing to all your flesh. Because when you really get that alive in your heart, I am healed. I am so healed just because Jesus said I'm healed. Not because one day I feel good and the pain went away. Because guess what? It can come back the next day. No, but I'm still healed because Jesus went to the cross. That never changed. But when I get that alive and living in my heart, I'm going to get violent against anything that tries to threaten that, because my truth, my God says that I'm healed, right? So whatever, we're talking about the, you know, physical body, but whatever truth it is that you need to get alive in your heart, when you, you know, when you get it alive in your heart, it's because it's alive. We're talking about it's life. The word is life and healing to all your flesh. It's his prescription for you. There's so many words in the Bible about this. So just one scripture about that. John 6:63 says, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes zip, nada, nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life." Spirit and life. It comes alive. If you're feeling dead, dull, boring, you need some spirit and life, the word of God. Get it in your heart. Get it in your head. Get it, I'm hitting myself. Get it in your ears. Keep it in front of your eyes, right? And then this last part, oh man, the sword. This was a month or so ago. The sword hit me on this one. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Do you know what I heard when I read that? This was the sword dividing soul and spirit in me. It was like the Spirit of God. It was gentle, but it was piercing. The Holy Spirit convicted me and said, because I read, keep thy heart with all diligence. It was like, yeah, you haven't done that. I'm being real with you. The Holy Spirit was like, yeah, you haven't done that very well in one area that I'm contending for. But he wants me to get it, right? So he was telling me, you got to come up in this area. But basically he was saying, and then I thought of the word lazy. Like the word lazy came to me because that's the opposite of diligent, right? Diligence means you're hardworking, you're working at it, you're consistent. So the opposite is lazy. And I was like, oh God. And so then very quickly, I'm repenting for being lazy and not keeping the word in my heart with all diligence. So that was the sword coming out at me. And I passed the test by the grace of God. But now I'm working on it. I'm being diligent, and it's every day. It's being consistent. No matter what you see, no matter what you feel, you put it in. You keep working on it. You keep getting it in your heart and tending to it. To keep means to watch over, to defend, to take care of, to tend, to maintain in good fitting or orderly condition. So what are you keeping with all diligence? Your social media files. I'm meddling, I know, because it is true, and I had to do it, so I'm just sharing that with you too. What are you keeping with all diligence? Let's keep our hearts with all diligence. And how do I do that? With the word, consistently maintaining a heart that's fixed on God and his word. It doesn't mean I have to be perfect, because I'm not going to be, but he's going to help me. And he's going to gently or not so gently tell me, yeah, you haven't been so diligent. There's an area that you can improve on, but at least I know. Wouldn't it be a really bad friend that like, doesn't tell you ever that you have like a big thing of broccoli in your teeth or something, you know, and you just go around and you know, I'm so grateful that God is my friend and that he would tell me, yeah, that area right there, diligent, you haven't been so much. Why don't you work on that? Like he's not leaving me where I'm at, just hanging, being lazy all the, you know, in one area. He's telling me, hey, you got some broccoli in your teeth. You might want to deal with that. I'm glad for the Spirit of truth that helps me, that grow. Otherwise, I'd never grow. We would never grow, right? We need that. Oh, don't we need that? So I was thinking about this verse, keep thy heart with all diligence. And I thought, I got to be a heart keeper. That's my role. That's my job. God does other things. He's got some roles, some parts to play. My role is, from what this is saying, I've got to be a heart keeper. And then I thought, what kind of other keepers do I know? A zookeeper? I don't want my heart to be like the state of a zoo, all different kinds of things going on. I got to be a heart keeper. And how do I keep my heart? With the word. It's alive. It's powerful. It's never going to return empty or void. I've got to be consistent. Because then the next part, verse 23, says, for out of it are the issues of life. I'm going to read it all together. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of your heart comes every issue of life. That is the garden, the essence of who you are is in your heart, right? So it's the force of faith can come out of your heart to deliver you from being lazy, let's say. Or what else could come out of your heart? Lots of things. Fear, doubt. Any other ideas? Anxiety, unbelief, bitterness, like Sister Susie Q, right? Rage, lots of things. Jealousy. That can come out of your heart if you're not tending your heart with the word of God, if you're not pulling the weeds out, so to speak. The force of life and power coming from your heart is in direct proportion to the amount of word, life and power, incorruptible seed, that you put in. So it's like a tube of toothpaste. When it gets under pressure, you know, you squeeze the tube of toothpaste, what's inside is going to come out. So if what in your heart is fear and you get under pressure, fear is going to come out. So you need to tend, keep, maintain your heart with all diligence. You do that with the word of God and putting in truth, right? Good nutrients. Yes, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's ever in here is going to come out of your mouth. So if you, you know, that's why we say pay attention to what words you're speaking. If your words start coming out anxious or whatever, you know, ding, 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 like something's going on, because what's coming out here, it means you can't see what's in your heart, but you can hear the words that come out of what's, you know, when you listen to each other, right? So let's look at this. How's this looking? Poor baby. Will you make some observations? Touch the soil.
Dry.
She says it's dry. Anything else you notice about it? It's pretty dead. It's pretty struggling. Look what I stuck on the front. Look, that's your heart. This is your heart on no word. This is your heart when you haven't tended to it. Ouch. Dry? It is really dry. Look at these poor little things. Some of them are green, but some of them are like brownish, and the soil is not good, and it is really struggling. Right? I mean, I don't know a lot about plants, but I don't need to know a lot about plants to look at this and know that that is struggling. Right? This represents someone's heart that has not diligently kept it. They haven't diligently maintained their heart on the word of God. They haven't put in good nutrients. And there's even some random, well, I guess those are leaves. I was going to say there's some random other weeds here and stuff that needs to be taken out. Compare that to this one. This is heavy. Look at that plant. Like I said, I'm no botanist. I'm no Sister Green Thumb. But, I mean, these are like shiny. These are like, you can see the light reflect off of them. And look at this. If I pull this away, do you see this guy right here? New growth. It's like unraveling. It's so pretty. And it's a light green. this is just beautiful. And the soil, pretty good. It's moist. It's good. This is the garden of our heart that we've tended to, that we have kept diligently. And life and healing are the result, right? That's the consequence of that. And look, the sun is shining. That's why I love this whole thing. I was like, I got to use this whole thing. I borrowed this from a friend who loves plants. She has a million plants. And this poor one was out back, rejected. And she's like, yeah, I just haven't thrown it away yet. But I was like, well, I can use that. So, and then look at that, rooted and grounded. Ephesians 3:17. This plant is rooted and grounded. Our hearts are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And when I went and looked up that verse, now I can't remember. I'm just going to look at it again. When I looked up that verse, right before it says rooted and grounded, it said, I was like, oh, that connects to what we're talking about. Where am I? Ephesians 3:17. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We're talking about Jesus is the living Word. He's the Word made flesh. So Christ dwelling in your hearts through faith, like the force of faith coming out of your heart, that's this. Root, and then it says, goes on to say, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, this heart has been rooted and established in love. It's been tended to. It's been watered by the Holy Spirit. Sun has come on it. And when we read the Word and we study the Word and we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and correct us, this is what we're going to look like. We're going to produce fruit. And fruit that remains. Because sometimes we're like this and we're starving ourselves, the Word of God. And then we wonder why we struggle. And we wonder why, oh, I'm in crisis and I can't, I'm shriveling up like this poor little plant that's just crying out for some good nutrients and for some water and for some sun and some life to it. The poor thing, it needs life from this. So praise the Lord. I hope that is etched in your mind, in your eyes, of what we need to do. Because we get to decide, right? Like it says in Deuteronomy, before you is, how does it say, life and blessing. Choose life, right? Or cursing is the other one. Life or life and death. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life, the Word of God. So I'm just going to set this down here, because if I stand back there, then you won't see me over that. So we get to choose. Well, I'll just set it down. Let's choose that one. Let's choose to tend our heart. And then to close, I just love this, Proverbs 6. There's so much. You could do a whole study this week about, you know, finding other scriptures that tell you about the Word of God and the richness and the value of it. This one is in Proverbs 6, and it says, my son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instruction. That's referring to the Word, right? That your parents should teach you in the way you should go and should put the Word before you. So then it says, keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. I'm going all visual today. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. The counsel of the Word of God, when I take a step, it's going to lead me. When I have it in my heart and I've tended to my heart with the Word of God and I'm producing life and power, then the very Word, that's the beauty of it being alive. It's going to lead me. No, go this way. It's going to lead me that way because it's in my heart. And then it says, when you sleep, it will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you. I want to be advised when I wake up. Sarah, You know, whatever. I can't think of an example. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's going to advise me. It's going to give me counsel because I've already put it in my heart. It's there. And so when I wake up, it's speaking to me. It's leading me. It's guiding me. It's protecting me as I sleep, protecting my mind from all other, you know, worldly stuff. For their command is a lamp and their instruction a light. Their corrective discipline is the way to life. So if you're feeling bad about the sword of the Spirit and it correcting you, this says the corrective discipline of the word, it's the way to life. It's the way how to get looking like this. Right? You might have to go through pain for a moment, but you repent and it can just be a moment. And then you say, God, teach me. I want your word to counsel me. I want your word to guide me this way. I want your word to protect me as I sleep. I want it to speak to me. I want it to give me counsel. The word of God is a light to your path and a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. I should have also brought my headlamp. I could have all the accessories up here today, right? The word, it's the lamp. It's going to shine the way for me to go. But if I have nothing in my heart, poor little heart, then how is it going to counsel me? How is it going to lead me? How is it going to protect me? It can't because it doesn't have the nutrients. It hasn't been given. It hasn't been fed those nutrients. Okay. I think we get it, right? We get it. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let's respond to God. Why don't you stand up? I'm just going to keep this on. We could start a new fashion trend. Anyone with me? We can get these lanyards. We can just tie it around your neck. We're doers of the word. We're going to do the word. We're going to live it out. You should have seen me preparing. I was trying to figure out how to do something to get the show, like, you know, I had this clamp thing, and I was like, how can I do, like, get it before my eyes, and it didn't work out with a hat. I had different hats, and I was trying to figure out, but hey, or like earmuffs, incline your word to the ear, you know, we could start some major fashion trends, getting the word wherever we need to put it, like bind it around your neck. You can make little chokers. Like this one's a little longer, but you know, it could be right up here. Sorry, those poor sound people. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. All right, Father God. Oh, thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for your word. It is life. And it is power to us. It is life and healing to all our flesh. We love your word. Oh God, we love your word. And we repent. We repent and we ask your forgiveness, God, for how we have maybe mistreated your word or spoken boastfully about how we're walking out your word and when we've missed it. And we've turned a deaf ear, or we've chosen not to obey what your word was telling us, or not to receive times when we chose not to receive your correction and your rebuke. Father, we repent from that. Bring a Bible revival to our hearts. God, give us a revelation of how much we need your word. It is an incredible tool that you have placed and freely you've given it to us, but it's now up to us to get it into our hearts. Holy Spirit, we want to have the mind of Christ. We want to have our minds renewed. We want to have our hearts flourishing and producing fruit. But we need to get there. We need to start. Help us to start, Father. Holy Spirit, show us what that looks like to start putting in your word a little bit every day. Help us to not be lazy. Help us to press through no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels, no matter what any of our senses tell us, but that your word is life to us. It's reality. It's our greatest reality, greater than what we see or hear or feel. Because you are the Spirit of truth. You're the author of this word, this powerful word that's never going to return void or empty in our lives. Let us understand how powerful that is, and let us put our attention to it. Oh, God. We want to put our attention to your word. Father, we repent for choosing our phone or social media or running to the phone instead of to your throne. Father, we repent of choosing other things and not attending to your word, not attending to time with you. Father, change us and help us and mold us. We want to truly be following you. Follow your word. Help us one moment at a time, one day at a time. That we can, our actions can match what we say, because your word is counseling us, your word is protecting us, your word leads us and guides us. Help us, God. Transform our lives into more like you and use the word to do it. Father, we welcome your correction. If there's a wrong thought, a wrong way in me, Father, I lay myself out to you. I surrender to you, and I ask that you show me and correct me with your word. And Father, let me be quick to repent and turn around and say, help me, Holy Spirit. I don't know how to maybe do what your word is telling me, but help me. I want to do it. I give my heart to you. So that you can tend it and make it a beautiful garden that produces fruit and fruit that remains. Thank you, Lord, that we will look like that flourishing plant that is producing fruit, and you will help us to tend to the garden, to tend to the and take care of and take out the weeds, to take out the weeds so it doesn't choke out the word in our lives. Thank you, God. We bless your name. We bless your name. Father, I pray that you would help each person overcome the battles that they need to overcome, and that we would do it with the word, that we would pick up the tool that you've given us, this weapon, the sword of the Spirit, and we would fight with it. Help each person to do that. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for your word today. Thank you for this word today, bringing us life and healing. Your words are spirit and they are life. And we want to just fall more in love with your word. We want to fall more in love with your word. Teach us, Rabbi Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We sit at your feet like your students to learn from you. Teach us from your word. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you're encouraged. I hope you don't feel condemned at all. I hope you, if anything, got conviction of the Holy Spirit to go and be encouraged to tend your garden. Read one verse. If you read one verse and just chew on it, meditate on it, and ask God to help you break it down. Ask him to give you a visual of it, of what it looks like in your life, so it can come alive in your heart. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.